Do no harm, take no shit. Written by Holsmi. Narrated by Nina Daisy Aberline. Mary Bonnet receives some uninvited guests. Do tell that Doug of yours I said hello, Evelyn said as Mary climbed out of the carriage. And Mary looked back at her friend, sitting with her head held high and a cigarette dangling from her lips. Evelyn's tone gave the impression that she wanted to have her way with Doug, or feed Doug to her jaguar. Maybe both. Evelyn's great, Mary thought, waving at her friend before closing the door. She tapped the door twice, and the carriage pulled away quickly after. Mary loosened her tie as she climbed the steps to her house. It was late, and propriety be damned. She opened the door and called out, Doug! Kids! I'm home! She kicked off her shoes into the corner before even bothering to close the door, her bag going with them. Damn, her feet hurt. She realized that no noise sounded through the house and looked around to see a short, leather-clad man with slicked back hair closing the door slowly behind her. The sword on his hip glinted as he moved around her, and the cruel smile on his face was intimidating enough, despite the cane he used to limp in his step. "Mary Bonnet, I presume," he asked, in a slow rasp once the door was shut. She nodded silently, fear scrunching her face against her control, and two more men entered the hall. The short man sighed through a smile and put his free hand on her back. She jumped away from the contact. "Where are my children?" she asked as he led her forward. One of the men stood guard at the door, the other at the foot of the stairs. They were large and dirty and looked distressingly out of place in the foyer. Clearly, they were here because of Steve. Not even in her wildest imaginings could she come up with pirates more fearsome-looking than these. The men's faces were impassive as she led past them, though the tan-skinned man nodded subtly to her, hand on his chest.
"Safe, as long as you cooperate," the man said. "My captain wants a word with you."
"With me?"
"Oh, yes," he said,
frankly way too close to her ear, and she grimaced and moved away.
"He knew your dearly departed husband. My condolences."
He didn't sound all that upset.
"Yeah, I figured you were here because of Steed, but like you said, he's dead."
"And that's put a smile on my face every morning since," he said, as they approached the doors to the office.
He opened on and saw the desk chair turned backwards. The man in it had one leg bent over the other and was gently spinning a sideways dagger in his hands, the point resting against the tip of a leather-gloved finger. Doug sat opposite the pirate captain in one of the armed chairs on the other side of the desk. Doug's back was ramrod straight, and Mary moved to grab his arm.
"Leave us, Izzy," the pirate said with a wave of his hand and a lofty tone.
And the unpleasant man, Izzy, left, closing the door behind him.
"Mrs. Bonnet, have a seat."
"If you're looking for Steed, he died months ago," Mary said, sitting down.
Doug refused to let her hand go, and their clasped hands hung between them.
"Oh, I know," he said, twirling the knife between his fingers. "I wanted to hear all the gory details."
She shook her head, confused.
"I don't know why you need to come all this way for that. It made the papers. Plenty of people saw it."
But I wanted to hear it from the Widow Bonnet herself, he remarked, sounding like he was trying very hard to sound aloof.
Well, she started, casting a nervous glance at Doug, who nodded uncertainly. He squeezed her hand. He wanted my forgiveness for getting drunk at my art show, and then he was attacked by a jaguar.
And where did a jaguar come from? He asked, waving the dagger around.
She looked at Doug, who looked at her.
Around? Doug said, but the word ended in an uptick.
Ah, the pirate said, wagging his finger while each syllable became harder. From the widow. Not sure, but it mauled him. He subdued it, but then he got hit by a carriage, and then a piano fell on him, she recounted, still looking at Doug, thinking less about the actual events and more about the planning. She worked to keep a smile off her face. It had been such a joy to have actual fun with Steed. The pirate stabbed the desk, and his hand had the handle in a vice grip, grinding a larger chip into the oak. Mary was certain, positive, that he'd lose fingers if he lost his grip.
You don't sound all that choked up, Mrs. Bonnet, he said. Although you wouldn't.
Did you even wait until your husband was in the ground before moving on to your teacher? She didn't care that he was a pirate, that his men looked like they could ransack the entire town, that the man's tone and action spoke of mental state coming perilously close to snapping. She was offended. Excuse me? She asked, dropping Doug's hand and standing, planting her hands on the desk. She didn't know how she grew so bold. Maybe it was the kind of way the pirate in the hall looked at her. The pirate jumped out of the chair, stabbing the foot of space between her hands and leaning close to her. He had long hair, wild eyes, and the beginning of a salt and pepper beard coming in on his face. His cheeks and eyes were covered in dark coal, and he looked like he hadn't slept in weeks, ages. He gave up everything to go home to you, and then he died, and you didn't even want him, the pirate shouted, and she refused to stand down. If he came here to kill her, he would have done so already, she thought, wagered. Doug stood behind her and tried to pull her back by the upper arms, but she shrugged him away. And how would you know what he gave up? She asked. Who even are you?
Let's not antagonize Captain Blackbeard, Doug said calmly, trying to ease the tension.
And it all clicked for Mary. She let herself be pulled backwards a couple feet.
Blackbeard? You're Blackbeard?
She asked with a smile, confused and incredulous. The pirate leaned further, looking up at her from the dark smart's eyes, a wide, unstable smile on his face.
You've heard of me.
Well, yeah, of course, she said. Steed told us all about you. I wish you'd say something sooner. His posture fractured, disarmed, and Dud looked at her from the side, a question on his face. She gestured at the pirate. Doug, this is Edward. Steed's Edward. Dud tilted backwards.
Edward was Blackbeard? He asked.
Yeah, she responded. Edward's eyes flicked between them as they spoke, and they were a complicated mix of confusion and something harder, something sadder.
I had no idea, Doug said, letting her go. Edward's fingers ground helplessly into the desk, the knuckles straining with the pressure. What would that have changed?
Steed's not actually dead, she said.
Shouldn't he know this?
He's out there, on the sea, looking for you.
Edward's mouth turned downwards, and Mary realized, horrified, that his eyes started to water. She tried to speak, say something, but her mouth opened and shut wordlessly. Eventually, she patted Doug on the chest and said, Doug, could you give us some space? Maybe check on the children? Doug looked between her and the near-whimpering Dread Pirate a few times and raised his eyebrows. Are you sure? She nodded a couple times, mouthing, It'll be fine. She hurried him along with her hands, and he left the office, tossing a, Oh, hello, to Izzy as he passed. When the door clicked behind him, she sat back down in her seat. He didn't find you then? She asked. His death was faked? He replied, refusing to look at her and leaving her question unanswered, although she already knew the answer. Yeah, he said he learned how to do it from you.
It was a fuckery?
He asked, more to himself than to her. Fuckery. She didn't think Steed called it that, not to her, and she tried to remember for a long few moments. I guess, she said. My friend's son is an undertaker, so we got a corpse from her. She also owns the jaguar. He's very tame, actually. A tamed jaguar? He asked. And she noted that while his posture was still tense, and there was still a knife in her nice desk, his fingers were relaxing slightly. His name's Ned. He laughed at that. Huffed, really. And he settled back into the desk's chair, turning it so he faced her. He didn't so much sit as lounge in it, legs kicked forward and arms splayed to the side. He looked tired, worn out, and his call looked less intimidating like this. Sadder, like a desperate attempt to hide his feelings from the world. And the carriage? Carried the dead body so he could switch places with it. The piano? To make his face unrecognizable. Edward leaned his head back and looked up at the ceiling. Hell of a fuckery, that. It was fun, she confirmed, nodding. If that's what piracy is like, I understand the appeal. He shook his hand in a so-so motion. It's less drama and more terror. Steed called it the theater of fear. Useful, she said. He quickly raised his eyebrows in agreement. He's alive, then? He asked. Last I heard, Doug helped him buy a dinghy, and he set sail before we'd even move the piano. She paused and leaned forward, putting a hand on the desk. He didn't want to wait any longer to go after you. Edward sprung out of his seat and stood facing the window. Did he say why he wanted to find me? Mary didn't think he realized it, but she could see his jaw trembling in the window's reflection. She rolled her eyes and thought, God save me from these stupid men. In her opinion, these two idiots deserved each other. She composed herself. Yes, she said, trying to imbue as much compassion as possible into her voice. He loves you, Ed. He loves you more than he ever cared for me. His face crumpled in the window, and she elected not to say anything about it. He came back here out of some misguided thought that he ruined us by leaving, she continued. Steed and I weren't happy, and we weren't some happy family before he left. We didn't need him here, and he didn't want to be here.
You'd already moved on, he said quietly.
I had, and so had he.
I'm sorry, he added, for implying otherwise.
The dreaded pirate Blackbeard apologizing for calling me a loose woman, she thought, smiling. Will wonders ever cease?
Forgiven, she said.
That Doug fellow seems like a nice chap.
He is, she said with a laugh.
The kids like him, and Steed does too.
Edward was quiet for a moment and peeked at her from the corner of his eye, bushy and unkempt hair obscuring most of his face.
He loves me? She smiled.
Told me himself.
And then kept me up half the night waxing poetic about life at sea with you.
He didn't say anything further, but he turned around, leaning against the window seat and crossing his arms. He looked at nothing in particular, staring at the floors as if the wood grain would reveal the answers to his unasked questions. She looked outside and saw that it was getting dark. Patting her lap, she stood up with a loud sigh. He looked at her, shaken from his thoughts.
It's getting late, she said.
Nodded and stood, body much more relaxed than when their conversation started.
Yep. I need to feed the kids, she said.
She plucked the knife from her desk with a good deal of effort and handed it to him, handle towards him.
Then, to his surprise, she added, You're welcome to stay for dinner, if you'd like. You and your two quiet fellows out in my foyer. You'll all need to wash up first, of course.
He raised an eyebrow, amused.
Of course.
That short one, though, of the greasy hair and the bad breath, she prompted, mimicking slicking her hair back.
He nodded, both eyebrows raised and a open-mouthed smile growing on his face.
I don't like him, she continued. He's not invited to stay.
Edward barked a laugh.
In fact, she said quietly and leaning in towards him, I have a friend who can probably take care of him for you if you're interested.
Oh, I like you, Edward said,
and she felt she might like him too.